With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
And here we are indeed. Fast Break Friday. Happy New Year, everybody. It's the first show of the new year. And darn it, we're determined to be better this year. Than last year, we weren't very good.
Mike's like, who are you talking about? You're not talking about me.
We got some new recruits.
Ah, it's great to see you, my friend. How was your holiday?
Holidays were good. Holidays were a lot of fun. A lot of
nice food. From Santa?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I've got a pair of pants on that from I got Santa? From Sandy.
Very nice.
Is that your New Year's resolution to wear pants more? Good for you, Mike.
Yes, it's fun.
We didn't want to say anything.
Yeah,
but, you know,
that's kind of tough. Yeah, it's getting cold. You show up in your skivvies, and you're in trouble.
People are going to question you. He said, no more. I've had enough of that.
I had my skivvies on at the ball game, Bob.
Your skivvies on at the
UK U of L game.
Well, I
didn't go commando.
We're all proud of you. That's breaking news. Put that on Twitter. That doesn't make the mixtape. Nothing's going. Well, we haven't seen each other since then, have we?
No.
So
that's
we can
the last
talk
time.
About that. We can talk about the bowl situation. We can talk about what it lies ahead for these teams. And Louisville's got a difficult challenge coming up here. Florida State team has won 5 games in a row, nationally ranked.
Very athletic.
Extremely big enough to invade some small foreign countries, and they force a lot of turnovers. They force 18 turnovers a game. So let's play this game, though, because we will have to both walk, and you've got your top 10. I kind of did mine earlier this morning. I've got some. My problem with putting the top 10 together for me is, but we'll get to that later, but just as a heads up, I don't know if, are you doing it based on what they've done or just by looking at them saying, I think that team's better than this team? Because, like, if you go by their body of work, Ohio State has been very, very good, and Gonzaga has played a very weak schedule. Their schedule is only 214th in the country, but there are people that have them very high because they look at them and say, boy, that's a really good team. So how are you assessing it, or a combination of both?
A combination of both. Okay. I go by the eye test and also blend into what they did. For example, Kansas, okay? They got as much talent inside and outside, Bob. You saw them up in New York.
I think they – when I was in – went to the shoot-arounds up there, I thought they were the best team.
Talent-wise, yeah. And, you know, I know they got beat at Nova right before Christmas. I get that. But I've got them number two.
Yeah, behind Duke?
No.
Who do you have number one?
Zags.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I don't think they'll stay. I wasn't that impressed with Duke, although I've watched them since New York, and I really have fallen in love with this.
They haven't played a tremendously hard schedule either.
No, I really become a fan of this Carey kid.
Yeah, he's come a long way from New York. He wasn't great in New York.
No, he wasn't, but I've watched him now, and he's very confident. Good footwork.
This is going to sound like I'm trying to start a fight, and God knows you know me better than that. For all the talk that Cal has done such a good job, and he has, of getting, you know, one-year players and getting them ready for the NBA, if you want to know the truth, and you played professional ball, so I think you'll know how I mean this. I think Mike has become more of a quote-unquote pro-style coach than Cal is. And what I mean is, I think Cal does it not because he's trying to be theatrical. I think he really believes with these young guys, that's what he has to do to get them to play. But, you know, the NBA, you can't have a guy in front of the bench barking for 48 minutes. The players will. Mike sits there for like 37 minutes, and he just kind of gets up now and again. He'll bitch the ref for, you know, quick call. He'll make an adjustment. Then the last 3 minutes is an exaggeration. Last 5-6 minutes, he coached like they coach in the pros. You watch him, and he's making all calls from the bench, but only the last like 5 or 6 minutes. That's way more NBA style than being up in front and being very demonstrative, don't you think, or not?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to pick a fight. It's not like one's better than the other. It's just it's interesting that they both have the most prominent teams of getting one and done players, NBA caliber players, and they both have sent them on to the pros, and they're doing well. Neither one of them has to apologize for it, but I do think that once Mike overcame his initial distaste for this whole thing, where he made it like it was Armageddon, and he's jumped in the one and done fray, I think his working with the national team has really influenced how he goes about his business.
Oh, I agree, and I think Calipari's time with the Nets and with Philly that it influenced him back in the day, and I think both of them. I think what you have to look at is Stevens at Boston. And I watch a lot of the Pacers.
He's very buttoned down. He's very.
I watch a lot of the Pacers, and what's the guy's
name? Nate McMillan.
Nate McMillan.
My brother's old player.
Yeah, and he is, he's just kind of stands there. He's like all guys now. I mean, Rick Carlisle. The other night, I was catching a Pacers game. So
they're more like baseball managers. They kind of manage the game rather than
right.
College guys call all the sets and on every possession they're up and yelling, and they don't really do that. And I'm surprised though, because Cal coached in the NBA.
But he lets them. He'll call a few plays now.
He was out of the box twice.
Well, he's hollering and screaming at players.
No, it wasn't even at the officials. It was just.
He was talking to players.
You generally can't do that in the NBA.
Not generally speaking.
They're not going to put up with it. They won't tolerate it. Nope. That's why I remember, God bless him, and I love him dearly. My aunt was the nurse in the room when his wife gave birth to their only daughter, Lou Carnesecca. But Louie, when he went to the pros with the Nets, I mean, that's one of the reasons he had to go back to college.
Louie's still alive, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. God bless him.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he went to coach the Nets, he finally had to go back to college because he was like, I can't do that. The ABA was playing 84 games at that time. I don't know if you remember that. But he said, I can't be doing that for 84 nights a year. I'm going to lose my mind.
42,
he's
42.
Up doing his contortions.
In his sweater?
It was like, no, that ain't going to work.
Well, I think the game, how you relate, every coach is different, how you relate to your players. You can appreciate that. And with a shorter shot clock in the NBA, how many plays? You better be able to score in transition. You better.
And you have actions. You have just one little quick pair.
Exactly. And you don't have to have all these plays.
No.
You just read, you react, and move on. And what Kentucky does so well, and I think the numbers will show this because I've got the research on it, that in transition they're very effective scoring the ball. They struggle on the half court. They really struggle on the half court. And some of that has to do with some streaky shooting they've had this year. I mean, they've had some lows, 11% from beyond the arc. And they don't shoot a lot of them, but they for a few games there, they weren't making a lot either, Bob. And that really kills you. So it kills your half court offense. But they want to play in transition. And that's what the NBA game is, a transition game. Or a pick and roll game, one of the two. You're either going to hit somebody in transition, you're going to pick and roll in transition, or on the half court. How many times can you set a pick and roll in 24 seconds?
So perfect, though, that you brought that up. Because, I mean, I want to get to the UK U of L game, but I want to speak logically, and this is the perfect follow-up to what you were just saying. Behind you, I don't know what TV you've got. No, you don't have the same TV.
I don't have the same, no.
They're showing the Miami Heat, who are one of the surprises in the NBA.
Yep.
And they should be, I don't know if you're a Kentucky fan, that might be the team you want to adopt. Maybe them, or I don't know, there's so many players around the league. But between Bam Adebayo and
Hero,
and they're showing Hero just knocking down threes. And Bam yesterday had 15 points and 14 rebounds. That's a pretty good night.
Yep.
And they won 84-76, but they are running a motion offense. They're running an open offense, very little ball screens, lots of throwing and cutting, even though it's a 24-second clock. And I'm telling you, it's fun to watch. You know, I loved, because I remember, even though there was a 30-second clock in the ABA, I mean, I remember The Nets were running, as I've said many times, their old junior high offense, pass and pick away. They were passing and going to screen the other guard. You saw that stuff then, and then the league became so infatuated with the ball screen that everybody got away from it. And I love Miami showing, you know what, there's more than one way to skin the cat, as the cliche goes. And they won again last night. They won 84-76. They're playing good defense. And Jimmy Butler.
They won in spite of not shooting well
last
night.
No, they didn't. Well, they held the other team even worse shooting. I guess they were playing Toronto, and Toronto had 14% three-point shooting. But, I mean, I just – don't you think sometimes with the scrutiny that you get because of places like this, 24/7 talk radio – it's easier to do what everybody else is doing, and if you lose, you just kind of, oh, well, we weren't good enough. Whereas if you try and do something outside the box and you lose, they come looking for you. That Mike Pratt running that goofy-ass.
Sure.
You know, just do what everybody else is doing. If you lose, you lose. But then it's not on you, at least. And that's a shame because, if you're Spoelstra and you've got a relationship like he has with Riley, that he's got, I guess, the blessing of the management to go try different stuff, and it's fun because you see some stuff work.
He's not worried about his job.
No.
Okay. And, I think you're right. I think it's easy in pro basketball and college basketball to adopt what is fashionable, okay, and stay with it. Because and then sometimes what you adopt, you've got to plug players in, and some players don't plug in well. And I think that's where you have your problems.
And that's the beauty
of – and I'm going to trumpet Calipari here. He's had all kinds of players, big, small, you know, shooters, non-quick guys, quick guys. And I remember when he first came, he sold the dribble drive because he had the book, right? Dribble drive. But he had Wall, Cousins, and Patterson. How are you going to dribble drive with Patrick Patterson? Why would you? You're going to post up Cuz, or you're going to post up Patrick. So he goes to a high-low. He goes into the dribble drive early, and he goes, uh-oh.
Not the right personnel
not right.
for that.
So I'm going to move my pegs around. So let's go to the high-low with Cousins and Patterson, particularly Patrick at the elbow in big Cuz block to block. Hey, it worked. So then he comes back, and his center's Josh Harrelson, and he's got Terrence Jones, and Lamb, and he starts playing around with that a little bit, and he – does kind of the same thing. He lets Harrelson work the elbow and lets Jones post up, and he dribble drive now. It's kind of been the book sold pretty well. Let's move on, you know. But I think you talk about Kay. I think Kay has changed and adapted to different talent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's
and
playing different
great
this year
do.
Than
yeah.
he was
oh,
last year.
Almost 180 degrees.
Yes.
Last year it was let's play 2-3 zone and try not to get in foul trouble and we'll outscore you. And he's come to terms that this year's team is not going to be that explosive offensively. And they're back to that stuff when he first got there, just slapping the floor and playing defense.
Yep.
But that's what the good ones do. They can, you know, they change. Not easy to do. It's exhausting. That's why I always said the energy involved in that, you know, is kind of like it's just when you get to be a certain point, like God bless Roy Williams, but Roy has run almost the same stuff for like 20 years. He is so dyed-in-the-wool Dean Smith guy. That he's not reinventing the wheel every year. He made a little tweak here, a little tweak there, but it's the same stuff. But Cal, and now you're starting to see Kay do it. I mean, they go in, they start their season, and a third of the way through it, he's willing to overhaul the whole damn thing. And he does done it how many times? He's done it, you know, 6, 7, 8 times probably. So
Roy, though, there's one constant to Roy. He's going to get some bigs that can rebound, and he's going to run
and
like hell. You
can't run fast enough to make Roy Williams happy.
That's one constant. Okay?
But that's what I mean. So no matter who he has, that's what he's going to do.
Yep.
He did it
in Kansas.
Yeah,
he's doing it in Carolina.
All the time.
Well, you know, you talk about being exhausting. I was up to practice yesterday, okay? And I was talking to a couple people after practice. I guess he's really been pushing these guys this week. I mean, really, really pushing them. And yesterday, Bob, he stopped practice. He got on them. He complimented them. He
stopped
broke
them for
down.
A good thing to say you
both.
Guys are wonderful?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. I mean, that's the beauty of him, I think. He's terrific in preparation. I've watched it. You and I have a chance to watch those things. He's really good in preparation, as a lot of guys are, but he's really good. And yesterday he was stopping. You know, why are you doing that? This is what I want to do. He got out. He said, I want you to sit down here or do this, do that. And talk about the energy is what I'm talking about.
That's what I mean.
You know, it's the energy to have to teach in January
and he's really
teaching
hands
October.
On.
No, oh, yeah.
Now I'll say this. Yeah. Mike has become like the CEO, Krzyzewski. I mean, you don't get to go to their – walkthroughs, obviously, when you're doing the network games, you get to go to all of them. He is very much the first 45 minutes of practice, he's supervising. He does very little. He really does. The assistants are running both ends, and he'll make a comment here, make a comment there, but he's not running anything. So he's not – I mean, Cal coaches layup lines, for God's sake. I mean,
he will give Kenny certain things to do, and Kenny will become very vocal. And then the other guys, they're just kind of part of the show. Yep. But that's, you know, that's just him. And so you talk about energy, and here we are in January, coming off a big win, a couple losses and a big win, and he's out there teaching, having to teach at this point. With an experience,
he can't say told me. He was talking to all of us at the press table last year at the Champions Classic, and he was telling Billis was there, so he was really addressing Jay more than anything. But we were all in a little circle, and he said, "The things that I have to teach them when I first got into coaching, I never in a million years thought I would have to teach guys at the college level. The guys that are coming to him just they don't have the most simple concepts of." How to set a screen, how to come off a screen, any of those things.
Why is that? My thinking on this is that the level of high school coaching has dropped so dramatically. Nobody wants to do it. Thank you, Bob.
You don't get paid enough to put up all the crap. You don't have any real power. The parents all look at you as a necessary evil. They are all believing in, you know, Joe Jablonski, who's running the
AAU,
the Thunderbolts or the Traveling Wilburys or whatever the hell they are, and that's the guy, you know, that they put all their stock in. And so it's a thankless job, and it's unfortunate. But,
So if you don't have that base, if you're not getting players with that base, fundamental base, then you got to reteach it. So you find yourself in January, February trying to reteach certain things that you and I and everybody else usually had in.
We usually
had in by Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Or even thought they when they came to you that they understood. I want to get into this. Let's play this game, which will piss people off. You look at Louisville and tell me what your assessment is of Louisville having gone from that game, and I'll do the same from Kentucky based on the UofL-UK game. And I will give myself a disclaimer before I start. I've only had UK twice, and both times I've had them, Maxie has been first-team All-American. So it's kind of hard for me to – because you've seen all the other games, because you and I were just talking in the back. So when we get to my assessment, I'm going to say take it with a grain of salt, because I have not seen them on a night-in, night-out basis. But what did you take away from Louisville?
Well, obviously, Wara didn't have a good game, okay? I mean, so just put that on the table. He's – I don't see him playing.
Was he there?
Like that.
I don't remember him being there.
He might have disappeared on you. But look, everybody's entitled to that. He's one of the best players in the country. Okay, he's got to get it back, get his mojo back, and get involved.
Enoch.
We were told it was Enoch for some reason. We were Enoch. Okay.
Nobody played well. He's pissed off. You guys couldn't say his name.
Well, maybe. But he's. I'd go to him more. I'd take it to him more. And he was pretty daggone good.
He was good.
He was good. And Richards made some big plays on him, but I got a lot of respect for him. You got to figure out some way when you play the long, tall defensive team like Kentucky, who's pretty good. They don't get credit for being as good.
Oh no,
that's where they're
hanging their hats.
Exactly.
I will say that Cal has them playing really hard and good defense. They are a good defense.
You got to figure out a way to release the pressure on McMahon to get him those shots that he wasn't able to get against us. Okay, I've always been a fan of Sutton just because he's a fun kid.
President
to watch
of
play.
His fan club.
Yeah. Well, he's
he was again. He was when the game was on getting away from them. He's the guy that really stepped up and
he'll make that play rebounding wise or defensive.
Yep.
You know,
he shoots a little bit, he gets the elbow, he put it to the deck and got to the basket a few times.
I mean, I like the team offensively. It's a different team if you get Wara back on track. But you got to figure out a way against certain teams to get McMahon shots because he can shoot it. And, you know, you got to figure out how to do that. And I would go into Enoch more and more. I mean, I would say, look, big fella, you're my guy because you will open up things. Outside, you just do what you did against Kentucky, and things will open up on the outside. All right. So, I watched the Texas Tech tape against Louisville, and I've watched them play, and they're good defensively. I don't think
Louisville.
I think they're good. They're solid. They're nothing to write home about. If you make an extra pass, you know, against this was the same way with Virginia. You guys played Virginia down to the wire quite a few times. You make that extra pass and you find the guy. You don't try to beat him off the bounce. You're not going to get anything at the rim, okay?
No, right.
So you got to hit that little runner. You got to make an extra pass. But I think that Louisville's offense, I think you get Wara involved. Enoch continues to play the way they did, Bob, and find a way to get McMahon more shots against certain types of players, because everybody's going to look at that, and that's the way Kentucky played them. They may not be able to play them that way, but it's a blueprint if you can, if you've got the length to play him. Because I'm telling you, if you give that kid an inch, man, he can shoot it.
Well, to amplify what you're saying and talk about Kentucky a bit, what they did is they extended, as you know, really hard on everybody and then basically said, God, beat us off a dribble. And that is not what Louisville does well. They don't, without the exception of maybe Darius Perry, they don't really have guys who can go by you off the dribble. Fresh Kimball got a few shots late, which is good. That's not, he's not explosively quick. He's just a heady player. But that's not really their strength. So what I would say is I agree with you 100%. If that's not going to be your strength, you've got to find a different way to loosen up the defense. One of the ways is to – they're going to extend. That means the big man's on an island in there. Throw it in there and let him go to work. I mean, the baskets he got late where they got it to him early in the shot clock, and he took literally four and five dribbles just back and back and back.
And see, Cal wasn't going to give help. He wasn't going to give up.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, that's the point. If they're not going to give help, he can make the jump hook right-handed or left-handed.
Yes.
Now if they come and help, now you might get the merry-go-round started. Throw it out, and they start running, and then you get McMahon a shot, you get Wara a shot. But you're right. You've got to find some way to exploit the fact that they're extending, and they really weren't. They were just playing east and west so often. Jordan has got to get better moving without the ball. I know you said, he will. By this stage of his career, he's got to.
Yeah, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But what Kentucky did defensively, they switched everything.
Well, teams have done that to them before, too.
And that bothered McMahon to have Brooks at 6'7", long arms on him. And quickly did a nice job, I thought, on Wara because Wara stood around.
Well, you know what you're going to have to do if you're Louisville, to amplify your point again, Chris is running a motion offense. He went through the films last year, found out they're not really great off the dribble, as we talked about. They were doing a lot of stuff like he was doing at Xavier, coming off ball screens. He said, what am I coming off ball screens for? The guy comes off the screen, he can't go by anybody. So we've accomplished nothing. Now we're late in the shot clock, we haven't done anything. Let's start throwing the ball and moving. But when you do that, you don't run a lot of plays. There's a lot of actions but no plays. Maybe he's got to put in a few more set plays to get McMahon a shot. I mean, something where you run a motion and then he comes off a stagger screen, and even if you switch it, then maybe a guy who switches off on him, the other guy's free. You know, like there's a lot, everybody, they're doing a lot of stuff with bigs and smalls. Maybe you don't do it with a big and a small. Maybe you do it with Wara, who I guess technically is a big.
I was going to go there.
Why not have Wara and McMahon? Now if they switched and whip, the other guy steps up and gets a shot.
Yep.
Maybe, I'm just saying, those would be the kind of things. For Kentucky, it's really unfair for me to make an assessment because the two games I saw them, I told you, man, as Maxey goes, they go. And you say, well, that's not really true because he's disappeared for some games that you've had. The two games I've had, he's a world. But that shot he made going down the lane to his left,
that was special.
Was one of the most incredible shots and a key time of the game, a very important time of the game. And he goes there in traffic and his hands all around him. That is and before somebody says, well, you know, you never want to be in a situation where one guy carries you. Oh, yeah? How did it work out for Purdue last year with Carson Edwards? It worked out fairly well for them. So a guy can carry you. You've persuaded me a little bit, though, when we talk, because he was good because Richards was good, largely. And it does, you're right. And
Higgins was good.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But it was really Richards set the thing up. And you're right about that. And you and I both know, to some degree, that's been the concern about him is from one night to the next. If he can bring it every night, then maybe you'd get more consistency from Maxey as well. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you know,
that's the question. Defensively, though, if I'm Cal, you're hanging your hat on that because they can guard anybody. Louisville's not an easy team to guard, and they guarded them not at all. They guarded them really, really well, and they run well. They do a good job with that. They have a nice chemistry. They seemingly get along. But boy, I'm still not sold that they're great shooters. I think they're going to go, like you said, hot and cold. But they should be able to hang their hat on that defense night in and night out. But somehow, some way, they've got to get some consistency from Richards, which enables Maxey to be consistent as well, I think. And you said Montgomery too, maybe. But those other two guys, because when they're good, they're really good. I mean, they're not just well, hey, they contribute. They're stars. But then there are games I've been from you tell me where Maxey was just invisible.
Yeah, he missed a lot of shots and took some ill-advised shots, drove in. And they run their offense through Higgins. Okay, think about that. He's got the ball. He's the guy that's going to set everybody up. So they're running their offense through him. Now, when Nick plays, when he posts up and does some of those things and gets to the glass and gets putbacks, they're a really good team. But when they have Montgomery doing something, you talk about a high-low. Cal tried this earlier in the year. Montgomery at the charity stripe and run Nick block to block, which makes a lot of sense to me. But
it was hit and miss.
It was hit and miss.
You know why I hate the high-low in today's game? There's no room to drive, and you're playing essentially now with – one less guy who's a potential three-point shooter, and the game is all about spacing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But if you could hit that charity strike a couple times, you flash that.
Well, that's what Sutton did for Louisville when they started to extend. Yeah, he came to the free throw line and hit that elbow.
You flash him there, and then you post it up, and Enix in there low, and he drops it to him or shoots the shot. Montgomery should be able to make that shot.
There's something to that.
Okay, you can't run the offense all the way like that.
But when the game was online, they really needed a bucket. What'd they run? They ran a variation. I don't know what he calls it, but they'd been running Maxey off that obstacle course of screens.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last time, instead of coming off the screen, he just went and cross-screened for Richards.
Yeah.
And so the two guys that really decided the game, I know that Higgins has to be the guy. I assume he was the guy who made the pass. I don't even remember. But the other two guys were the guys that really set up the game-winning shot.
That was a called play. Yeah. Calipari called it a design play. And Richards, what he did that time that sometimes he doesn't do, he came right hard. I mean, he blew right in there. And then the other thing, sometimes Nick will bobble a ball and maybe hesitate a little bit, and your guy Williams or whoever could block a shot. He just took it and went right up.
No, he
just was, right up.
Yeah.
And in that, that was a big play. But Montgomery, he ought to be able to, on putbacks, he's got a nice touch. Putbacks, get to the charity stripe, play 25 minutes, Bob, and he ought to be able to get you 10 points, 6, 7 rebounds. Come on.
No, I agree with that.
And so if you got Nick in at 12 or 14, you got him in at 12, 10 or 12 minimum, you got a pretty good – takes a lot of pressure off Maxey, makes Higgins – opens things up for Higgins, okay, and quickly can flat shoot it. So, I mean, just something about those two guys together playing well makes Kentucky – a totally different team.
Are we on in Lexington is what I'm asking you, trying to mouth through the glass here? Or are they doing so then we have to take a break.
Cal's coming up, I believe, 12:30, isn't it?
Nick doesn't. I know Chris Mack is coming up at 1:15 here on the Louisville side. So
We can effort Coach Cal.
All right, we'll effort everything. So we're going to step aside, and then we'll come back, and it's Friday. We'll talk about the games coming up this weekend. We'll get to our top tens. We'll talk about Kentucky, Indiana doing something on the football field that – to Nick's best of his knowledge, has not been done ever?
In the 80s? It was back in the 80s.
It's this season. In the
FBS.
FBS. Team has not come back down two scores in the last five
down
minutes.
Down 13, not two scores.
13, yeah. Sorry, down 13, yeah. It's kind of two scores.
13, but I'm sure somebody's come back from 10 down, and then it wouldn't be an accurate statement.
Fair, that's a good point. Okay, good point, yeah. So 13 points. The team has not come back from down 13 with less than 5 minutes left in the game. It's
first time 0 all year.
And 471.
0-400.
0-400.
That happens all the time in the NFL. I was surprised at that. Teams score, get a stop. They have all the timeouts left. They score.
Well, the NFL runs the 2-minute drill. That's their deal. College guys, they can't run it
unless
that
you're Seattle. Because once again, did you see the Seattle game last week?
No, I didn't.
They have no. It's like
I read about
it's like
it,
the end of the game comes and they're totally shocked. The coach is like, "What is that clock? Is that the time of day?"
That guy never had that problem previously. I guess he got dumb over the.
What
over
do you
the
mean?
Year.
He had the problem. He had the Super Bowl. They've been the pass play on the 1 yard line. They've just. But it was unbelievable how chaotic it was. They've got 500 people on the staff. Can't they get one guy whose only job is to manage the last 2 minutes of the half or the game? And, I don't know what terms they got in football, but they had just had the Skittles guy, Marshawn Lynch, go over the top, bring the house down. They had the exact same situation, and the announcers even said on the air, they can make a first down and not get a touchdown. Now, if the announcers are aware of it, shouldn't your special situation guy on the bench be aware of it and say, hey, listen, if we get a first down here, I want the Skittles unit ready to go. You know, so that they get in there, and then you say, all right, let's go. Instead, they got in there. They weren't ready. They didn't have the lineup right. They didn't have the right personnel. By the time they get out there, it's a delay of game penalty. Now they're backed up to the six. The whole thing changes. How hard is that? They must have a name for that, your jumbo package, your Skittles package, your let's get all the fat guys out there package. I don't know, but you know what's coming. Forget the announcers were ready for it. How could you as a coaching staff not be ready for it?
They've got a booth full of coaches.
Somebody.
And somebody's got a headset on the field. Most people have a headset on the field. So, I mean, you got to communicate. Somebody's,
unbelievable. Yeah. Just how
I didn't see that.
Dumb was, if you know what happened, they made a first down. They could get to the 2-yard line and make a first down. And then, or they could score. And they threw a pass. A guy caught it inside the two. They tackled him before he got to the end zone. So now they're, I think there were no timeouts left, or maybe they had one. I don't remember. And no, they had none. So the guy comes out and they spiked the ball or something. But the fact of the matter is they were all confused. They didn't have the right personnel package. So by the time they get out there, they get backed up to the 6-yard line.
5-yard penalty.
And now they can't run that pack. So now they got to try and throw it. And they don't make it. They don't make it. They don't make it.
Tough to throw it down there.
Yeah. So if you had that unit ready, I mean, they were not going to stop Marshawn Lynch. They just run it at the other end. The guy went 15 feet in the air and went over everybody. That would have brought the house down. Instead, they lose. Now they got to go play a playoff game on the road.
Welcome to the NFL.
That's it. We'll come back. It's Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680-1057. Thanks to our listeners in Lexington, and thanks to you wherever you're listening to us here on this Friday here on ESPN Radio.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue, because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Hi, I'm Hannah Gist with Gist Piano Center. Whether it's tuning, moving, storage, appraisals, or complete restoration, we take care of all your piano needs. Try Gist Piano Center, trusted in Kentucky.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Bob Valvano. Right now, for every window you buy, you get the next one free, no limits, and 0% financing for 36 months. Call 502-487-5200 or go to UniversalWindowsDirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about vitality, wellness, and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually, and it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet, and they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals, to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things, and that's what they explain to you at Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier, starting tomorrow at Vitality.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way. Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people. River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The official NFL app has you covered on all things playoffs. Never miss a second this postseason because the NFL app is your key to watch every game of the playoffs for free on your phone or tablet. Plus, get all the latest breaking news, videos, and highlights of your favorite NFL teams and players. Download today at NFL.com/mobile or in your app store. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Pack.
Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging, this approach makes a difference.
My name is Steve Bosco, General Manager of Prodigy Construction. I've been part of the Commonwealth Bank and Trust family since 2016. While other banks can take a simple process and make it complicated, CB&T keeps things simple. They're honest, fair, and transparent. If you're looking for a bank for your business, let me know. I'll take you to lunch with my banker. Having CB&T as a partner is like having a banker in the family.
See more business banking stories at bankerinthefamily.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
Serious right now?
Yes, dead serious.
The music, the bed just, I couldn't,
well, I
even
didn't
fade
know
it was out.
Playing. I had my headset on.
That's bull spit. No, Mike yelled
okay.
Like four
I
times.
Anyway. I won anyway. 214. Rolled a nice solid 214.
214?
So
oh,
the guy's 183.
Sweet.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
Moves me on to the semifinals.
You were bowling?
Yes. I was bowling. It's one of the great inventions of all time. It's this website called Skills. Okay, goodbye.
The typical Val
Vano. You can
Vano.
Win prizes.
It's
you win
typical
prizes.
Val Vano
I've won, a grill. I've won a lamp. I won a fondue maker.
It's a volcano lamp or something like that?
No, he saw it. It's very cool.
Yeah, you want a fondue maker on that thing?
I want a fondue maker and a grill. Oh, it's a fantastic
son of a
website.
Bitch, write the thing back out. Come on, let's
That's
get a pinball machine out of this.
No, easy. You got to play. You can if you played long enough and were willing, basically to spend the rest of your life doing nothing but playing this game, and it would cost you a lot of money.
You could win a car.
You oh, can really? Win a car. It's like a billion points to win a car.
You're
going to
be that guy that gets
gets
the Harrier jet from Pepsi.
No. I'm perfectly fine with these two little gifts, but I'm in a little tournament right now, and I was a little nervous because I missed a single pin spare. But fortunately, I had. And I was talking to Mike earlier. He knew I was in the groove there. So 214, that'll do it. So now I'm in the
214. That's
in
big.
The semis. That's
big.
A good number. You can win some games.
Yeah.
So that's fun. How about
Wait a minute. Here's where I want to go.
Okay.
Why is it, you and I have talked about this many times, we don't get excited about all the stuff on the recruits until we actually eyeball
Absolutely.
Them, right? So you know, in Big Blue Nation and Cardinal Nation and all these schools that, that put so much behind the rankings.
Yes, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star.
What they call the Big Six, or Kentucky's got these guys. Everybody at Kentucky wants to know what's wrong with Whitney, okay? What's wrong with Juzang? He's supposed to shoot. He can't shoot. Well, you know, he just should be a senior in high school. And I don't know, but he's not shooting now. But, I mean, he just should be a senior in high school. And we pumped him up to be the next Tyler Hero in that case to take, you know, I mean, come on.
Well, we're going through it here because he's a local kid. David Johnson is a guard with good size. He's like 6'4", almost 6'5", I guess. And the guard play for Louisville is not great. They're not you know, if you had all five stars at all five positions, then we don't have to do much analysis. You're going to be a really, really great team. Most teams have some players that are better at some spots than others. Louisville's strength is in their front court and their wings.
Yep.
That doesn't mean their guards are not good. It just means they're better players at the other spots. So because of that, people are clamoring for Johnson to play. And they ask me, why isn't he playing? And I say to you, I can't give you a definitive answer. I have some observations, but let me ask you this. If you're Chris Mack, and you're making $1 million, whatever you're making. And
$4 million.
Okay, $4 million. That's right, he's making $4 million. And basically they give you that money with the idea that you're going to try and win games. Why would you not play a guy that you think gives you a better chance to win the game? My guess is if we went to practice, we'd see something that would make us say, oh, I have a better chance if I play that guy than I do that guy. So why do you get your panties in a bunch over it? What is it that you think he's not doing there? Do you think he's deliberately not playing a guy that would give his team the best chance to win?
I've always said that too, Bob.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
You know, you dance with the one that brung you, and was the old statement. And these guys, if they can dance, he's going to put them in. Maybe they're just not ready. I mean, that's what I said.
That's right. Because then you get that question, Mike. Oh, so you're saying he's not a good player? No, I never said that. He may very well turn out to be. I give as an example, and it was a different era, but Vinny Del Negro and Tommy Gugliotta couldn't get on the floor when they were freshmen at State, and both of them went on to have long NBA careers. You develop. You get better over time. It's not such a radical concept. Doesn't mean they're not good players. It just means they're not quite ready yet.
Well, you go back to Calipari's first team, Patrick Patterson. Okay, he was a 3-year guy. All right, Harrelson was a 4-year guy. Darius Miller, pretty good player, still playing in the pros. He was a 4-year guy, and we saw the best from all those guys I mentioned. And there's more. I just picked those three. That developed, and they were probably, you can't remember. I try not to remember the negative piece, but they all go when they were young. Why is he there? Why don't you play him? And then when he doesn't play or he does something not good, they go, oh, he can't play. Well, the guy hung around for another 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, became a pretty damn good player.
Guy works up the hall from us. The people were literally.
Perrin? Yeah?
No, Luke Hancock.
Yeah, okay.
They were booing him mercilessly. This guy from George Mason, how the hell is he supposed to be a player? Meanwhile, he goes and wins the most outstanding player in the Final Four. You know, I hate to say it again, got to let the cake bake is all I'm telling you.
Well, but I think this is a problem with certain schools in basketball, and not just these two here. I'm talking about in the Big Ten, out UCLA, North Carolina, Duke. I don't care who it is in that group. Their fans think everybody they signed is ready to be Michael Jordan the minute they hit campus, okay, or LeBron James the minute they hit campus. And they're not. They're not. Now, I mean, it took AD a while to develop in his freshman year. Come January, he was late December, January, he was right on target. But, you know, I think that's one of the problems we have because I listened to all the commentary around this past game, and they go, well, you know, I thought this guy was supposed to be great, so-and-so. And
the only defense I'll make for the fans who hear Louisville have some concern is this, Mike, and I think to some degree, because unlike Kentucky, their roster doesn't turn over as much. So they're looking at it saying, well, I thought we were all excited this year that it was going to be a different year because of the new kids we brought in. And basically none of them are playing, the exception of Fresh Kimball. He's not a freshman, but he is a new player. But so they're kind of looking at it and saying, well, why then should we think this is going to be such a dramatically different year if we have basically the same cast of characters? The only thing I would say is, two things, really. doesn't mean because you got the same players, they're the same effectiveness. They have a year learning the system. They now, I mean, the way Chris was playing last year was 180 degrees different from the way David and Rick played. So they had a year, have to learn that. You get better individually. You develop your game. They got in the weight room. They're stronger. They, you know, they do a different conditioning program than Rick did. Chris wants guys that are stronger. Rick wanted all racing greyhound.
That's another point I'm going to give you.
So, so now they're more suited for that. And the second thing is practice. If you really brought in good recruits, it means your practice sessions are probably more competitive. And when they're more competitive, you get better. So it's not like, oh, well, if we don't play these freshmen, there's no way we can be better. Yes, you can. In fact, they're probably contributing to being better. It's just that, like you said, everybody's so hell-bent on these ratings, and I'm predicting this kid's going to be the guy who's going to be a star, and why doesn't he play him? And well, he's not playing him because he thinks that he has a better chance to win by playing the guys he's playing. It's that freaking simple.
That's right. Very, very simple. And to your point about everybody gets excited about games in November, December. And, you know, hey, look, sports writers, talk radio, everything, it gives us fodder. Okay, but as a coach, now January, you start tightening your rotation up. Okay, you look at what happened November, December, you start tightening the rotation up. But what never stops, which I think is very interesting because I saw this back when I was in coaching start to develop, Bob, and you probably saw it too. The individual work. Individual work never happened in the 60s. And it started That's to true. Come in the late 70s, okay, maybe early 80s. Individual work where the assistants take a guy or two, whatever it is, certain positions, and they work before and or after practice. That never happened.
No, absolutely
it's
true.
It's a beautiful thing. I've watched a lot of guys do that, and it's really a neat thing to watch, and that's how guys get better. So now coach is tightening his rotation in this month. All coaches are, if they haven't already. But they're still working on the individuals. They're still working before and after practice. They're still lifting weights. So some of these guys – not only does it trigger something in their mind about how to play, but they're going to feel more confident about their skill set. So they may develop in February and March, and they may come out and they go, oh, man, that's who the guy I thought it was going to be, right?
And you know what else? I'll never forget. You remember the guy because he played for Tubby. That's how my brother Jim met Tubby. He played for Tubby when Tubby was coaching high school.
I tried to recruit that kid.
Harold Thompson.
Yeah, we tried to recruit him, and his brother came in there, trumped us at the end.
Sorry.
NC State.
Because he got the job late, and there weren't many guys out there, and he got him.
Yep, I remember.
And he didn't play much for them. But in his first year or second year, I can't remember, there was a game late in the game, and for whatever reason, foul trouble, they put him in, and he made a steal in a key possession, literally last possession of the game. Like the NC State was protecting a one-point lead, and they came down, and he read the play, and he made a steal. And I'll never forget Jim saying, you know what, and that's why you recruit guys like that. As far as I'm concerned, he earned his scholarship. If he did nothing else that year, that was an important win for us. That's what you're doing with these guys now.
Yep.
It doesn't mean they have to get 20 minutes a night. You're trying to – I mean, it's an analogy. You won't remember any names, but my senior year, I was a student assistant coach. I went to school, the Division III school, and we still had a JV program. So I worked with the JV team all year. I was the head JV coach. We get to the conference tournament. As you know, you can play guys. It's like high school at the Division III. You can take a guy from the JV and put him on the varsity as long as he doesn't meet, you know, exceed the number of games. Well, you're allowed to play. Then you're allowed to play 27 games. So he hadn't dressed for a lot of the varsity games. The JV schedule was only like 16 games, so he had a whole bunch of games he could still play. We put him on he was a good player. We put him on the varsity schedule. We get to the conference championship game. It's an overtime game. Everybody fouls out. I mean, it's one of those games where we got three guys fouled out. They've got like four guys fouled out, and we got nobody put in. So we put John Bledsoe. I'll never forget the name. God bless him. We put him in. He's a small college forward. He's like 6'5", maybe. And I'll never forget. And we put him in, and he's on the free throw line. And we miss a free throw. He comes up with the rebound, scores, grabs it, puts it up, scores, and gets fouled, makes the free throw. We go down the next possession. They miss. He gets the rebound. We come down. He's open. They don't even know who the hell he is. They're hardly guarding him. We throw it to him. He makes like a 10-footer. He scores 5 points in the overtime, and we win the game. And we were the conference champions. But the point being what you said, if you'd have said back in February, you know, well, you know, giving up on this kid, you know, no, you're letting him develop. He's got to get better. And he was working, and he got better, and he played the JV schedule, and he got himself ready. And when he was called on, he came through. And so who knows if David Johnson's going to have a game where he has to come through, or who knows, Juzang. They may come through a game late in the year. Somebody's playing zone. Whitney's the guy that's even more you wonder about.
Cal's got three young guys up there, and you've got young guys here that could develop and could become real factors in some form or fashion late in the year. And Whitney and Brooks is starting to come around, okay? But his offense is struggling, but his defense is starting to come around. And Juzang. And you've got the guys that are starting to come around. And the other thing you can't forget that if there's an injury, we hope there's never an injury. But if there is, some of these guys are going to be asked to play.
Exactly.
So that's where all that individual work, playing against the first five guys in practice. Then a guy, the door opens, you either step through it or you stay back. If you step through it, you're a hero, just like Harold Thompson.
Yes, I mean, that's all you – I mean, and guys think it's being cliched, and you want to tell them, I promise you, it is not a cliche. Because the guys, oh, you're just telling me that's like keep coming to practice and working hard. No, you don't understand. History is spotted with people.
Yeah, sure.
You don't know when that opportunity is going to come. The only thing you can control is, are you ready when it does? And if you are, you might win a game for us. Who knows?
When Cal came, he inherited Jody Meeks, who decided to go pro. He inherited DeAndre Liggins and Harrelson. And I remember talking to Cal about those guys, and then Jody decided to go to put his name in a hat and play 8 or 10 years, whatever it is.
Right.
Quite a shooter. But he got down to Liggins and Harrelson. Neither one, he was not a fan of either one. Okay. He just let him go out and see what happens. He had practice and this and that. So finally he decides that, you know, I kind of like DeAndre. Because he can defend. I mean, it's simple to like. So he went with him, and Harrelson kind of got pushed back a little bit, you know. And then a month into the season or so, month and a half, he gets called on, and he's ready. The big fella's ready, and he starts knocking down shots. You remember?
I do. He had an incredible run.
Yeah, and he was not a guy that – but he was a guy that they worked with, they had patience with, that he had patience with himself. And when called on – you know, he delivered. And DeAndre Liggins was up and down defensively, or offensively, excuse me, but he always was consistent defensively, and Cal could call on him.
We are, guys are texting us with names of people who played JV. Louisville had a JV team for a while? I don't remember that.
Recently?
I don't know.
Since you can play as a freshman? Wow.
Well,
now,
I mean,
Patino had a JV team when he went to Kentucky.
Oh, maybe that's what he's talking
when
about.
When he was first at Kentucky.
Because that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, I think it's kind of cool in a way. I mean, if you're making all that money, because Carolina still has one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of walk-ons, but they still have one.
But they still have none of those guys, very rarely does anybody ever come and make it to the varsity. But you know what? A, it lets your staff have a chance to practice coaching.
Yes.
Which is number one. Number two, they're teaching the same things there that you're teaching at the varsity level. So it gives your assistants reps of teaching it. Because the same thing, if you're teaching it and it's not getting through to a guy, you know, I'm not teaching that the way I should. So you can.
How
do I find out how to teach it? You have to learn. How else do you learn your craft? I think that's one of the problems in coaching right now. I really do. Is you get assistants, and rightfully so, they're celebrated because they've signed a 4-star and a 5-star and a 10-star and all this, and they get in there, and maybe they've been good on the practice floor. You talk to the head coach, unless the guy's a complete scumbag, he's going to say, yeah, he's terrific, he's wonderful. So then the guy goes and gets the job, and you find out, damn, he's really overwhelmed by this. He doesn't really understand how to coach. How else can you learn how to coach? Not to mention that it's still not easy to make a JV team when you've got a school of how many, 15,000, 20,000 people. So they get to go tell their friends that they represented. I always said, and I meant this.
Well, the other thing, Bob, they, as walk-ons, go out to the regular students and become involved and carry the message
and
build your program.
It's absolutely ambassadors of the program. I always said, when you make so much money, Louisville makes so much money, Kentucky makes so much money, I mean, they should have a second team. They should have a Division III team that's essentially the equivalent of a JV team, but you play other institutions like that, and there's no scholarships for them. The guys get to learn to coach. Maybe they certainly wouldn't play in the Yum Center or Rupp, but, I mean, the other place is still open over there, right? Don't you? Isn't the
Memorial,
other?
Yeah, they
could go play there, and I don't know where Louisville play now. They're out of places. But my point is, I think that would be great and give coaches a chance to learn their craft and get other, you know, these are supposed to be public institutions. Let somebody else represent the school. I mean,
well,
that would be,
to your point,
I think that would be very cool.
To your point, the NBA has what's called the summer league. And who coaches in the summer?
Exactly.
The assistants.
That's what I mean. This would be the equivalent of that because, I mean, you know, you played a schedule that geographically was not challenging. It wouldn't cost that much. Basketball's not a humongously expensive sport.
Ride a bus
run.
To certain places.
Ride a bus to places. You know, you play all the teams in the area. And
affiliation. Well, it's regional affiliation.
Yeah, but just like Miami of Ohio, which has a fantastic hockey program.
Yes, they do.
They have a varsity Division I team, and they've got a club team. I think they have a Division III team also, if I'm not mistaken. They might have three teams over there. And
I don't think.
Well, they've got at least two.
Yeah, they have a really good club team.
And it's a great recruiting thing, and the club team gets people to come to games, and it builds the interest in the sport. And I don't know.
You know who else is good in hockey?
Who's that?
Bowling Green, out of the MAC.
Did you ever play them when you were at Louisville? Do you ever play Bowling
Green?
But
they also, they have a Division I team. And
they have a Division
team
and a club team.
They got a nice hockey arena.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
We're making all this money in basketball. Chandler, my uncle used to say, money's like manure. It's no good unless you spread it around. So another hour to come. Stick around.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.